Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's going on, everyone? Jonah Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Wednesday morning. We're getting closer, ever closer. 4 days to kickoff of an NFL division around playoff game. And we're all looking forward to it, the Eagles and the Rams, especially with a lot of confidence in the air. Look, we'll get to that. Flyers lose in overtime. We'll lose, what, the shootout last night. Sixers lose before the game began last night. We'll address that later in the show. Busy and big show for you today, as we'll talk a lot of Eagles getting ready for the postseason. Certainly want to hear from you at 215-592-9494. We're giving away Metallica tickets today. You can win them on the program. This week we're giving away Eagles Rams tickets. You got to listen at 8 o'clock today for your chance to win that. So a lot up ahead, 215-592-9494. Rich.
Joe.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. According to the American Farm Bureau Federation, throughout the entirety of the 1950s, it cost under $7 for a meal that included a 16-pound turkey, potatoes, stuffing, dinner rolls, cranberries, and pumpkin pie.
It doesn't shock
me,
man.
For under $7 for the entirety of the 1950s.
Look,
I knew it'd be lower, but under $7, that seems aggressively low.
It's incredible. It's incredible how times have changed.
Well, I'll just say this. Babe Ruth made $100,000 in, I think it was 1930, and now we got guys making $70 million a year.
Wow.
So, you know.
Wow.
It's my point, counterpoint. Or is that just my counterpoint? No, it's a cool fact. I mean, I hear you. I hear you. All right, so let's get to it today.
He really poo-pooed that fact.
No,
didn't
I mean, I
did.
No,
just
I think
like, neat fact.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. Is all I'm saying. It's all I'm saying. All right. By the way, someone wants
to serve
that to me
might
today.
Be, Joe Wechter did some computing. The same meal today might be 40-ish a person by his math.
Wechter, I could use breakfast, by the way, if you got nothing going on back there right now.
Oh, my God. He never does. He's
right,
just hanging out.
To the listeners. To the listeners of Delaware Valley, we got 4 hours here. Someone can bring me breakfast. I'd appreciate it.
Please don't do that, listeners.
I'm hungry.
Delaware Valley.
Pancakes. French toast.
Someone will do that. Don't do this.
No,
really. I'm looking for a Western omelet. And my name is Harry Callis and Richie Ashman.
I'm sure that'll travel well.
Remember when they used to do that?
Celebrate twins.
Yeah, I mean, Harry and Richie would beg for...
No, Lane and pepperoni.
And they had to be told by the Phils, you got to knock that off. All right, so let's get to it. Hopefully the Eagles don't knock it off. Only thing we want the Eagles to knock off is the Rams in the next couple days, and I think they will. You know, John, one thing that comes to mind for me thinking about this game is it's hard to imagine the Eagles losing it. And here's the thing I'll say before we go any further. Is that technically inaccurate? I guess. I mean, we all know you can lose any game. And, you know, it's not like the Rams or the Cleveland Browns, right? I mean, the Rams theoretically could win the game. But, I mean, doesn't it feel like it's hard to imagine the Eagles losing because of the greatness of the Eagles? I mean, from the defense to Saquon, the offensive line, to home field advantage, to, you know, no travel, to more rest... Here's where I'm at on a Wednesday morning, and again, 4 days to kick off, and you can weigh in, 215-592-9494. Where I am at is this. I absolutely, and notice I use the word absolutely, I absolutely think the Eagles are going to win this game. And it is, while technically not accurate, the way I feel is it's hard for me to imagine the Eagles losing this game. John, does that resonate with you?
It is indeed hard for me to imagine the Eagles losing this game. And I have a real problem with myself. You know, I keep berating myself.
The foolishness?
I feel like I keep skipping ahead to the NFC Championship game.
Me too.
And that's a problem. That's on me. I need to enjoy this and this preparation. We haven't even had a practice for the Rams, and I'm thinking Detroit NFC Championship.
It's wild.
N'Kobe Dean, how are we going to deal with Jahmyr Gibbs without our best coverage linebacker? Can Zach Bond up to that chance? I'm leaping ahead, and we know that's a huge no-no. I think we're going to push the Rams all over the place. I think our game, our team, is exactly what you want this time of year for the playoffs. The key in the playoffs, when the weather is inclement, like ours, is defense and run the football and overpower people, and the bully wins. And that's exactly
that's right.
Who we are. Team, our style will travel to Detroit. There I go again.
I'm with you.
But I keep skipping ahead.
I agree.
My biggest worry is I will underestimate this Rams team that's playing for a lot. They've got, this is a team traveling across the country, like you said, on an incredibly short week without a home, but they've got a real purpose with everything that's going on with their home, that is under so much, duress right now.
Right.
So I think that team is going to run out of gas eventually. And they're sort of on fumes right now.
During this game? They hit gas in the game?
Yes. They cannot. They're not the same team that they were when we beat them 37-20 on November 24th. They are a better team than that. But we're a better team, too. And I
defense gets more. Defense creates more turnovers now.
I'm excited.
Eagles, yeah.
I'm excited to see how we deal with Sean McVay and the interesting wrinkles that he'll throw out there, because he really is a good coach. But Nick has been excellent at motivating these guys. The Rams have a high ceiling. They sort of feel like a designer team.
You know what? I think they had high ceiling 3 or 4 years ago. I don't see the high ceiling
now.
We're
a team of substance. Substance is what wins this time of year. I know that the L.A. flashy designer team is not going to like playing here in the cold.
And let me just say this, Sean. When you talk about their high ceiling, because I think there's a perception of that, at least there has been the last couple of years, but think who they don't have anymore. They don't have Aaron Donald. They don't have Todd Gurley, and I know that's been like 5 or 6 years. I mean, it's been a while. They don't have Jalen Ramsey. Okay. They don't have prime Cooper Kupp.
They have nifty attack plans, and
Kyron Williams is awesome. Their running back's really good.
I know, but they're a solid team. They're not a great team.
Tons of looks and blitzes on defense.
Sure. I agree. They're not a great team.
They're not. Now, look, I'll say
this. It's like a designer team. Motions and schemes on offense, with McVay, it's like they show you something and then take it away and try to trick you. It's like like smoke and mirrors, designer team. But we are the meat and bones.
I agree.
That's why we will win. We will physically dominate this team.
And no, I agree with that, John. Look, curious where you stand, 215-592-9494. Does it resonate with you, the following statement, hard to imagine the Eagles losing? I know it might sound ridiculous. I know we shouldn't take it for granted, but I'm just telling you, it's how I feel. James, remember our childhood? I think this will resonate with a lot of people in their 40s and maybe late 30s. James, remember in our childhood when the Eagles got to the NFC Championship game to play the Rams? That was early adulthood for you and me.
I remember where I was. Okay. I remember watching the game. Sure. I remember Buckholder getting hurt. Right. I remember everything.
Right. Here's my point. When that happened, it was such a big deal in part because you and I had never seen the Eagles in an NFC Championship game. So I was born in 78. I was 2 in 1980. Don't remember it. I guess I was in the room, but I have no memory. Like, my point is,
we had seen the Eagles win one playoff game that I remembered. That one win.
It was 92 and 95. But it 92, was,
sorry, right. two wins. Yes, right. I forgot about the 95 win. Yeah.
But my point is, it was so rare then for the Eagles to get to an NFC Championship game. John, my mindset right now is, I'll see you next week. Now, I'm not trying to be a jerk, okay? I'm really not. I mean, I do respect Matthew Stafford and McVay and their organization.
You should.
But I just think the greatness of the Eagles will get it done.
Yeah.
That's where
Our
I'm at.
Our organization is excellent. I mean,
that's where I'm at. And if that's foolishness, then shame on me Monday morning if that. But I'm just telling you, that's what I
feel. We're a better team. I feel that way.
That's what I feel.
Yeah. I agree with you. We have more substance and toughness. We have more of what wins in the playoffs, period.
I'm with you, man. Devin, is this nonsense talk?
I mean, when you phrase it as it's hard to imagine how they lose this game, I think it's actually pretty easy to imagine. I'm not trying to be negative here, but you saw the way the passing offense played against the Packers, and the Eagles still won, but they should have won by much more.
So if you don't get four, I'd say what would be a concern.
If the offense doesn't get it together, the passing offense, then it is easy to imagine. Because we saw how much Matthew Stafford spread the ball around against the Vikings.
I don't even think they lose that way. Honestly, they ran for 255 against the Rams last time. I get what you're saying, Devin, and I think Jalen's going to be way better in this game than he was in the last one. I think Russ was a big part of it.
Yeah.
But I actually think Jalen can play like he did last game against the Rams and just make some throws, not turn the ball over, and they could beat the Rams. Well, probably, hold on, rephrase. They will beat the Rams.
Okay, look, I tend to agree with that, but there is this possibility that could happen. I mean, one of these weeks, and it feels like it hasn't happened in a while, but what happens when the Eagles lose the turnover battle? I mean, last week was 4-0, and I know...
It's pretty rare this year.
I know.
I mean, Jalen still had one game where he turned the ball over since the bye. Two turnovers in that one game, and that's it.
And you know what also helps?
What happens is they can lose.
Yeah, no, I get that. And you know what helps? Saquon... knocking on, he don't fumble.
Historically, his whole career.
AJ Brown, I have never in my entire life, I have never seen a wide receiver.
Stronger hands?
Yes.
I think it's the strongest hands I've ever seen.
I've never seen a player where I feel like there is no threat of him fumbling. He gets the ball, he tucks it in. His hands are like
vice. It's like a vice grip.
It's like it's impossible to get. No,
it's like an Adrian Peterson handshake.
Right, he only touched the ball one time the other day. But look, I'm just telling you, I get that those things could happen. And Devin, I get your point. I would like to see the passing game improve.
And I think it will. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I think it will, and I think that they'll win. But when you say it's hard to imagine, that would be the one factor that would contribute.
Rhea, are you uber confident?
I'm confident.
Not
Let's
Uber,
just put
though.
It that way. Okay. I mean, there's a lot of factors, and I think, you know, we all talked about Sam Darnold and how his offensive line was as dreadful as
I thought that was more him than them.
No, but I think he did hold on to the ball, but I don't think they did him any favors. The Eagles' offensive line is much better.
Yeah, you don't worry about that.
Yeah, and the Rams, obviously, the 9 sacks were tremendous, but, you know, the way you slow that down is Saquon.
They've also not been a great defense over the course of the season. They're like 26th.
130 yards of rushing
a game they
give up.
Yeah, they got like four rookies starting or something. And they've been better. They have kind of coalesced into something lately, but they're not, like, close to what the Eagles do.
John, this is your band, buddy. Well, you were buddies with them. I mean... So what was it like... No, not what. What is it like... to have been cool where you had all these friends and now you hang out with the four of us?
That's a good question.
Like, your life has changed dramatically, John. That can't be ideal.
Yeah, James Hetfield to Joe DeCamera is quite the drop.
I got to tell you, like, it doesn't really measure up. All right, we're giving away.
No, you're right, Joe. You are not. Like, sitting and speaking with James Hetfield compared to sitting and speaking with Joe DeCamera.
DeCamera!
It is different.
What you
different
talking about,
outlook
Lewis?
On the world. No question about it. Both very unique individuals, though.
Oh, and I'll take that.
It's a pleasure every day.
Wow,
look at that.
Wow, Johnny Ritchie.
Less
my
pleasure
back.
Than it would be if it were James Hetfield or Joe Armstrong or someone like that, but no.
Understood.
It is a pleasure.
All right, so we're giving away. It's a pleasure for us to give away
tickets. Can you imagine
tickets.
The news, James Hetfield hosting the WIP morning show? That would be something.
I think it would not... I think I'm better at this than he is.
Probably.
I'm just saying. I'll put that out there. All right. We're giving away Metallica tickets today. Metallica's got the M72 World Tour, and they're going to be in town in May 25th at Lincoln Financial Field. Tickets go on sale this upcoming Friday, January 17th, this Friday in a couple days at Ticketmaster.com. That's 10 a.m. 10 a.m. on Friday, Ticketmaster.com. Here's how you can win the tickets today. You know,
Did your voice crack there a little bit?
I don't think so.
Almost.
Might be a little, maybe it hasn't fully woken up. I don't think it cracked. But
sometimes there's the, yeah.
Sometimes.
The fully not woken up delay.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite a crack.
It's more like a frog
I'm
in
hoping,
there.
I'm hoping, though. Fingers crossed.
You do love the voice crack.
I enjoy it.
I know you do. All right. I enjoy when we give away big time tickets, and I enjoy when we have a little contest for how you can win them. So here's the deal. The guy, the photographer that snapped the iconic photograph of the players near the end of Miracle on Ice, right at the end. Where they're all, you know, just in celebration is just commencing. You know, the U.S. has beaten the Soviets. By the way, semifinal game, not the gold medal game. But that famous photograph of the U.S. winning that great game in the 80 Olympics. The guy that took that photo just died earlier this week. In honor of him and that photo, we will ask you this question. And I don't know the answer. There's five or six big ones that go through my mind. What is the most iconic photograph of all time? All the photos, all of them. The most iconic photograph of all time is which one? Let us know at 215-592-9494. Whoever provides the best answer is going to win the tickets to see Metallica coming up later this year. Best, most iconic photograph of all time, John Ritchie, which one is it? Now, I'll say,
wow.
I'd ask the panelists, maybe consider not taking the Mount Rushmores. Just putting that out there. John Ritchie, what comes to mind for you?
All right. This one, I think, should be considered a winner, a possible winner.
Okay, going
except
there.
Except for the fact that it was posed after the fact. Like, it was a publicity photo that I found out after the fact was posed and sort of cheapens the whole thing. The photo is the skyscraper, the guy's lunch atop a skyscraper.
Oh, okay.
1932. Mm, yeah. Charles Ebbets was the photographer. It's an amazing shot.
It's a scary
Manhattan.
Shot.
Yeah, I get uncomfortable every time I look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. You got the girder. You got all those guys, you know, however many guys, 12, 14 guys sitting on this steel girder.
Yep.
All those, you know, miles, a mile up in the New York sky. But it was a promotional photo at the time.
Yeah.
They staged it.
Okay.
It wasn't real.
Okay. That's interesting.
Well, it was real, but it was staged.
Understood. Yeah. Devin, what comes to mind for you here?
So I'm going to pivot here because I don't want to take two different haymaker answers. I'm going to go with Yoko Ono and John Lennon shot by Annie Leibovitz. It was the last photo John Lennon took before he was killed.
Wow. Okay.
Whoa.
I don't think that's accurate.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't think that's accurate because I think he was photographed that day, but you might mean like the last time.
Professionally.
Yeah. Because I think someone took a photo not long at all before he got killed.
Oh, like I'm talking about it was shot for
walking
Rolling Stone.
But I know what you're saying.
They're like curled up.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Like professionally done, planned and all that. Mm-hmm. James, iconic photograph. What do you think?
So I'm pivoting on the fly because I was going to take I was going to take a haymaker answer.
Of course.
I will instead, this is the first one that just popped in my mind, just thinking about it. The picture of Apocalypse Now with Francis Ford Coppola where he's talking to the severed head.
Yep.
Where that's the actual person buried under the ground talking to it.
Yeah.
Great picture.
All right. Rhea, what are you thinking? And are you also pivoting based on my request?
Well, I don't know because it was so long ago, but I the only reason is it's in my house. My brother's an artist, and he painted it.
Mm-hmm.
The Phantom Punch. Muhammad Ali over Sonny Liston.
It's certainly one of the biggest from
sports. But I think that's okay.
But I think it's okay. But I'll say it's certainly probably top 10 to 12. Would not have won, but I get it. It's a very, very, very famous sports photograph. All right. Give us a big-time answer. An iconic photograph. Whoever provides the best answer is going to win freaking Metallica tickets. So get dialing at 215-592-9494. Are you as confident as I am, and I think a lot of us are, about the Eagles against the Rams on Sunday? And I do think the travel factor for the Rams, and I like what John said, he thinks they're just going to run out of steam
at some
point. And
the 3 p.m. start, because remember, their time clock is 3 hours behind.
I'm with you.
12 o'clock start for them is not great.
That's the hard way to travel.
Yep.
West to east is a lot harder to travel than east to west.
And they're now calling for snow showers around 4 o'clock.
Wow. Okay. Let's go to the phones. Jacob kicks us off this morning. Good morning, Jacob.
Good morning, everybody. How's it going?
Good, pal.
Great, Jacob.
So I guess I could get the confidence question out of the way first. I think that I've been bothering my friends quite a bit with how confident I've been, especially the last few weeks.
Okay.
I don't think it's just like I don't, it's not crazy to like envision them having one of their worst games all year, but I am so certain that they're going to win this game. That, like, from a personal matchup disadvantage standpoint, like, they just don't match up physically to this team, especially on defense. Like, there's no, even with N'Kobe Dean going.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Going down, I just don't see the adjustment that they'll make being enough.
Look, I think we touched on something first segment. As long as the Eagles don't turn the ball over and lose the turnover battle, that in particular makes it hard to envision the Eagles losing, to the point you're making, Jacob. The physicality of the Eagles, plus what John said, he thinks the Rams will wear down. I just think it sets up in a great way for the Eagles.
You can run out of emotional energy. You know, it really is something this time of year, too, that in the playoffs, the good coaches will remind the guys, hey, keep it down, guys. Like during the week, let's not get emotional. Let's keep it reined in a little bit. Conserve your energy rather than expend it unnecessarily.
Which is something, by the way, the Patriots, Sean, you're a 4 Eagles. Patriots players talked after the game. They thought, now, you weren't an active player, but they thought the players playing in the game put way too much energy pregame. Jumping around with excitement and enthusiasm. And if you remember, you guys were out on the field for about 45 minutes before kickoff.
No question that's a big deal. That's a huge difference in that type of game.
Yeah. Roddy Harrison thinks it was part of why the third and fourth quarter went the Patriots' way.
I don't doubt that that's possible.
That's wild. Jacob, give me a great answer, man. The most iconic photograph of all time is which one?
So I've got one that isn't sports related, the Hindenburg disaster, the Zeppelin explosion.
Sure. Yeah, no, I get it, man.
That's a famous picture.
I get it. It sure is. Oh, the humanity.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Was that overdramatic by that person?
No, it's flaming, and people are dying in the sky. Yeah. Like, how could it not be?
Do we need the other humanity?
Yes, I think that's a perfectly acceptable thing to say when you're watching people burn in the sky.
Well, he couldn't say the option, which was like, you know, blah, 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 bleep, bleep, bleep.
Right, that's right. All right, just got to put the Sixers thing out there. I know we're heavy on the Eagles as
we
should
be.
Yeah, we do. We actually do. So, last night was a disgrace of epic proportions. You know, Rhea's obviously in the update saying who didn't play.
Everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Who did play? I mean, it's a who's who of nobodies. Nobodies. I don't know this guy. I don't know that guy. I don't know that guy. This guy's playing 28 minutes. This guy's playing 35 minutes. This guy's playing 40. Like, I don't know who they are. This was an all-time low for the 76ers, and really one of the biggest disgraces in NBA history. They, like, I really think we actually have to start, and I want to be very clear, I'm not blasting just the players, okay? I'm blasting the Sixers organization and the NBA. I'm putting four on notice here. Sixers players, NBA players, Sixers organization, NBA, Commissioner Adam Silver. Got all five in my sights. And we got to stop calling NBA players players. They don't play. Like, we say, this guy's a baseball player, he's a football player, he's a basketball player. You have to play. You have to play to be a player.
It's incredible.
They don't play.
They not want to play.
Like, they don't play.
It's, what about the, it's so far from what it's supposed to be. You know,
it's a
going
disgrace.
Out there and competing and, you know, just getting after it.
Entertaining it feels, the fans and rewarding right. them for giving $80, $120 for a ticket. Imagine being a family of four that goes to that game. Probably, Ray, what do you spend in family of four? $400 to $600?
With tickets and with parking and with eating.
Yeah, at least.
It's really at least $400 to $600?
It's at the very least bottom, $200. Yeah. But I think around $300.
Yeah, I think that's probably more right. Two to three at the bottom for a family of four.
Justin Edwards had 35 minutes. Jeff Doughton.
I've never heard of those guys.
29 minutes.
I've never,
there's no reason to.
In my life. I've never heard of
Nance had 18.
Yeah, and the game... And the game followed suit with, you know, the other team's up by a bunch of points in the first quarter. Then the other team goes in cruise control, and the Sixers just do what they do for three quarters. And look, the next three, like, they tried their hardest, but they stink.
I am very, and I've never been in this boat, I'm very close to just tank. Just throw a towel in on the season at this point because it's
why the team.
We have a guy named Reggie Jackson,
right? And it really seems like
I actually know Reggie Jackson. That's a guy I know.
That's cool.
Reggie Jackson used to be good, at least.
So Devin, I mean, then you'd have to sit Embiid and Paul George and Maxey the whole season.
Sitting anyway.
No, I know, but I'm not there. But let me put it. Here's where I'm at right now. The lowest point I've ever been at as a Sixers fan, and that includes the process years. So. It's all a way to say, let's get to a Twitter poll question of the day today. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. In 2025, Armin Chevrolet is proudly celebrating 25 years of seeing the automotive needs serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question, is your disgust with the Sixers at an all-time high? Is your personal disgust with the 76ers at an all-time high? Yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. All right. Let's get to, obviously, what's going on with the Eagles. I mean, they should win. I guess we shouldn't totally take it for granted, but I got to be honest with you. I kind of am. Like, it's how I feel. I'm just being honest. It's how I feel. You can weigh in. It's at 215-592-9494. Also, your chance to win the Metallica tickets. Give us an iconic photograph, and we'll do AMA coming up in about 5 minutes. Let's go to Dan right now. Dan, good morning.
Embiid is ass.
You love saying that, man.
Joe, how dare you question Joel Embiid's heart? After all he's done for the city, I mean, it's unbelievable. Do you know how much money he spends on a daily basis when he's not at the games to keep this economy going in Philadelphia? It's trash. They're not players. They're substitutes at this point. That's what they are. They play... Is it even once a week at this point?
It's astounding, man. And here's the thing about last night. Like, Embiid actually has this foot thing. But why is Paul George shortly before tip-off? And I'll tell you, I'm going to ask the question, I'm going to answer it. Why is he held out last night? Because they know they're going to lose anyway.
They're playing Oklahoma City. Right. They're like, oh, these guys are going to beat us no matter what. And let's just sit everybody.
Right, and then they played tonight. But I mean, Dan,
it was the all-time Doc Rivers scheduled loss. Like, the all-time.
But the problem is there's like 25 of them this year. And Dan, like, I'm telling you, man, I've seen enough sports and I've seen enough life. They are going to lose fans. The NBA and the Sixers.
Already are.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate the Sixers. And it's hard for me to say that about a Philly sports team. But this team, like with Joel and the tanking, I've hated the Sixers for years.
They spit in the face of their customers.
Joe, 89% of their payroll was on the bench last night.
Yeah.
89. And they've already been removed from a TNT game. They're starting to do that, the February 4th game.
Good for TNT.
We're not putting this on national.
It's trash. As for the Eagles, listen, I am a little concerned about Sunday. I think the Rams are peaking. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the same team we played. It's not the same team that started out, one
Well, that does
the
happen.
Season.
The Mets peaked. I mean, the Mets.
Yeah, the Rams, they gave up the last game not playing their starters, but they had won five straight prior to that.
Okay, so they've six straight that they've tried to win. That's impressive. So
I'm not super, I'm confident, but I'm not. This isn't like a rollover game by any means. I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be a rout. I don't think. Okay. I mean, we should win, but I don't think it's going to be comfortable.
Dan, give me an iconic photograph.
The Rams beat the Bills, which was impressive, on December 8th. If you remember, it was like a 44-point win.
Something like that.
Wow. Just a shootout. But that playing the rest of that division this year that was incredibly down, it doesn't feel as big an accomplishment as it has in previous years.
I agree with that.
NFC West...
Hey, John.
was not in a great spot this year.
I'm glad you just talked. You were talking about Joe's voice cracking. Listen, man, your voice improved too. Remember you used to like choke all the time when you would talk?
Oh yeah, remember that? You would always like get clogged up.
You would just start crying.
Clogged up.
It's completely gone. So I don't know what you've been doing, drinking hot tea or whatever at night, but yeah, keep it up, man.
That's good.
A good point. I feel like it used to happen a lot. It never happens anymore.
All the time.
All right, really? Dan, give me an iconic photograph.
Listen, most of the photographs that are going to be said today are staged a second time, but when Lee Harvey Oswald got shot.
Yeah, that's a wild one. Yep, Harvey Oswald getting shot, man. That is... Has anyone ever called him Harvey Oswald before?
No, I think you're the first.
Well, I don't know where that just came from. Lee Harvey
Harv.
Oswald.
I mean, people called him Harv, I think.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So, John, let me ask you a question.
Incredible photo.
What? It is.
Jeez.
You're seeing his face.
You're seeing him as he's getting shot. Like, pain. Anyway.
I know.
Also, probably the shock.
John, you're a smart guy. You went to Stanford. Why did Jack Ruby shoot Lee Harvey Oswald?
Why?
Yeah, why?
The mob?
I'm just asking.
Because of the mob. Look, Jack Ruby ran establishments for the mob, all that stuff.
So, James, do you think the mob killed Kennedy?
I think it was a multiple things going on. Whether the mob, the CIA, I definitely don't think Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone.
He didn't wake up that morning. And
that
go,
I definitely feel very confident about. But past that, I think a lot of theories could be.
It's so unbelievable that
they killed him to keep him quiet.
Well, yeah, that's no doubt.
And what he was doing with what he wanted to do with the government. Oh, there's a lot of theories with that.
Unbelievable. It's amazing that they were just walking Lee Harvey Oswald through a bunch of people, reporters.
Well, that's the crime.
It's nuts.
The guy killed the president. And he barely, there's two security guards. It's like, what is happening?
I'll never understand it. All right, let's do what we typically do at 7 o'clock. We'll do it a little early today. A little early AMA action. You ask, we answer. All right, Seltzer, what do those inquiring minds want to know today?
Let's start off with Jack the Mike on Twitter. He asks,
Jack the Mike?
Yeah.
What is he cool because he's Jack the Mike?
I don't know. Hey, I would not rip him. He tweets at us all the time for AMA questions. He is one of my go-to AMA guys. Thank you, Jack. I appreciate you. You are awesome.
Jack the Mike, I will judge your question and then answer it. Go ahead.
Hammer and Richie, what is your favorite song that Seltzer plays coming back from break?
Good question.
Warm it is a good question. Awesome. Yeah. That was really awesome earlier.
Which
with
one?
Lars on the drum machine, the bass, the double bass pedal. Landmine has taken my sight, taken my speech.
I played that one time. That's an acceptable answer.
Imprisoning me.
I don't have a favorite.
Of course you don't.
I just don't. I mean, you play a lot of good music. I give you a compliment. Play good music.
Got to be Voodoo Child for you, Reggie, right?
I think Voodoo Child has to be it. Another one that I would love to hear sometime, there's Aneurysm Nirvana on a live album called From the Muddy Banks of the Wishka. It is so explosive. The contrast in this song, Aneurysm, is so incredible. I would love to get that in coming back from a break sometime.
See what I can do.
I like when you do the Beverly Hills Cop thing.
I do too. So I'll tell you, that's one of my favorite song to play coming back from break is When the Levee Breaks by Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
I'll just say that.
That's
I think
great.
It sounds the coolest coming back from break. Okay. Michael on Twitter asks, being an early morning show, what do pre-meeting shows consist of? Is there topic rundown, reviews of late night events from the prior night, catch up each other's ideas for content? How does it all work?
Try to move it fast. I mean, the biggest thing is identify what we should talk about without talking about it in the room much. You just don't want to know what your co-hosts are thinking much at all.
Well, you don't.
Well, yeah. Well, correct. Correct. Because I know radio
I didn't think that was a big deal at all until doing this show where you were so insistent about that. I learned just don't ever share any ideas.
Do you get it though? Spontaneity can be is
I
best on air.
I still think it's possible to achieve spontaneity while knowing.
Not really.
I really do, but I understand this is your methodology.
Yeah.
Can I also just say my favorite part about our pre-show meetings are talking about, you know, whatever the main topic's going to be, but then Richie just throwing out random historical events.
Oh, it's great.
Our sport conversation. Yeah, just like out of nowhere.
Well, for the side topic. Yeah.
Yeah, in the middle of nothing, John will just go, Napoleon.
Yeah.
We're like, okay.
Napoleon was born on this date. And, you know, Albert Einstein.
Yes.
Like, oh, okay.
And no one reacts. Like, we just keep talking about whatever we're talking about. Yeah. But, it's funny.
That's true.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, that is true. There is sort of a rhyme and a reason for that meeting, I guess. And it might look strange to someone just coming and seeing it for the first time.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
And look,
part.
We've always done them, even in middays.
Absolutely.
We've always done
things at times.
It's great.
You got to move through stuff.
Part of what we do.
Yeah.
All right, let's do one more. I'm a little nervous to ask this question to Joe because the hammer. What do you get the most compliments about?
What do I get the most compliments about?
Yes.
Probably beat the hammer. No, I'm being honest. I can't tell how many people tell me. Like,
No wonder the hammer has become...
Right?
Yeah, hammer! No wonder.
I mean, guys, I'm not good looking. Okay, let's start with that. So I don't get that compliment. Occasionally people say you're a nice person, which I appreciate, because I think I am.
On occasion.
Wait, someone actually says that?
Yeah. Wow.
Well, a variation.
Does it feel like a cut almost when they say it?
No, like if you hold the door open for someone, that's very kind, thank you.
I'll say, you're a nice person.
Well, yeah, you are.
You're a very, very nice human being.
Okay.
I agree.
A nice person.
Joe, I had a guy come up to me, I was at a mock trial event for Roman this weekend, and big fan of the show, and he goes, is Joe DeCamera as annoying off air as he is on air?
No.
And I go, no. Oh. And he goes, oh, seemed disappointed.
So I get a different question. Like, throughout the history of working with Joe, the question I've gotten by far more than anything else on about is he really like that? I'm like, yeah, he is. He is. He's
I said
really
you're quieter.
Like that.
I am quieter.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you got to talk and talk radio, but I can just as happily slink away by myself and, you know, do a puzzle. All right. With that said, I would just say that the beat the hammer thing. People are in awe. And
John, what do you get the most compliments about?
But I'll just say
hold
this.
Hold on. Don't let that just go.
You should be in awe. No, but you should be
in awe.
You should. To the listeners of the Delaware Valley, you should be in awe of my sports knowledge.
No, you shouldn't.
All right, John. Compliments?
I am thrilled. I really do get a lot of... I'm not bragging.
Okay.
My kids, I have people tell me a lot that they're nice kids. Like,
that's the best, compliment you could possibly 100%. Get. Like, it's not even close.
The greatest. It is the only compliment I care about. The only one that I want.
That's great.
And when, it's so rewarding. And they are good kids. And I don't say that to them.
They are good kids. They really are good kids. Yeah, I'm with you.
Nice. Yeah. Love it. All right, with that, AMA, we shut it down. Devin, you getting compliments on the sideline reporting? How's it going?
Yeah.
What are you, three games in?
Three games in, yes. First playoff game.
How do you feel?
In the books.
How'd it go?
It went well. Not that I didn't get nervous during Eagles games before, because I'm a fan, but it makes me even more nervous because I want to, you know, keep doing it for the rest of the season and see how far they can take this thing. But, it's going well. People have been really complimentary, really nice and supportive, and... it's just been very surreal.
Does the action on the field, so I've heard this for years. I was on the field one time for a preseason game, briefly, end zone area, and the action was way away from me. I have heard that, you know, a guy like John would be used to it, you know, played in it, the whole deal. But I've heard for the mere mortals of us in the world, to see an NFL game right in front of you, the speed is wild.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, it is absolutely true. And you have to watch out because... it moves a lot quicker than you would think. Like, obviously,
can come at you.
Yeah. Like, you have to be aware of your surroundings at all times.
Well, Howard got it that one time, right?
He broke his leg one time.
Yeah. And didn't Paterno get rolled up as a coach?
Yes. I mean, we see all the time you watch these games, you'll see people on the sidelines just get slammed into, and you're like, man, like, I'll bet that really
the worst
hurt.
I remember, it's wasn't fast. There a Packer coach that got severely injured in a playoff game? Am I remembering that? Like, 95 Packers Cowboys. I just remember a Packers coach getting, like, seriously injured.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Manny in East Oak Lane. So, Devin, look out. Manny, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Manny.
What's up, buddy?
Well, I have kind of a strange thought. The young lady right at the beginning of the show mentioned how vanilla the attack was last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it dawned on me that why would I want to have the future coach of the Dallas Cowboys calling the offense the Eagles.
So I like Kellen Moore. He's come under more criticism this week than probably any week this year. I tend to think it wasn't as much a Kellen Moore thing as people think, but I know a lot of people this week have been annoyed with Kellen Moore. By the way, I don't think he's going to get that Cowboys gig, but we'll see.
You could. Deion Sanders.
The reason that Deion wouldn't get it is because he wouldn't be willing to acquiesce all that power
to Jerry.
Right. To Jerry.
Yeah, but who picks the players?
And also,
Jason
not enough
Witten
camera time
probably would be willing to acquiesce all that power to Jerry.
I would think
Jason
so.
Witten, what is he?
I mean, Kellen Moore is more qualified than either of those guys.
No question.
You know, I mean,
it's
way
possible
more,
that Jerry,
you
know? If he's thinking Jason Witten, and it sounds like he might be, like, of course. Kellen Moore, it makes more sense. I think it's possible that Kellen Moore
leaves. No, it's possible.
The problem is that would be another offense for Jalen. This is the root of why I have issue with our coach not being able to do the play calling.
Yeah, I know. It does complicate it. I will say, like, while I'm okay with someone else calling the plays, if you have to keep finding someone else
every year,
it's you know. Anyway, Manny, give me a great answer, my man. An iconic photograph.
The Marines raising the flag on Mount Suribachi.
Wow. I thought he was going to say something else.
So did I, which was one that I didn't take at the top because I was pivoting. That was shocking. Honestly, that might be, from start to finish, one of the most shocking side topic answers you ever got.
That was wild. All right. I expect it's something to begin with an I, but I'll leave it there.
Don't give it away.
No, I'm not. It's still available.